Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading, especially these two verses. When the crowd saw that Jesus wasn't there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is our text. In our gospel reading, it's the day after the feeding of the 5,000. For us, it's been 2 weeks. But do you remember how hungry the people were? Do you remember how Jesus took the loaves and the fish and looked up to heaven and blessed them? Do you remember how everyone ate and was completely satisfied? Well, that was so yesterday. Contentment doesn't last long. There's always a day after. There's always the next day. There's always tomorrow. Hunger, need, desire, they don't take a day off. So the people did what you would expect them to do on the next day. They woke up. They discovered that it was about time for breakfast, and they went looking for Jesus. It shouldn't have been too difficult to find him. They did the math in their heads. They knew that the night before there had only been one boat on the seaside, and that the disciples had taken that boat across the water. Jesus had remained behind. And yet, when they look around for Jesus, they can't find him. He couldn't have gone too far. He's got to be here somewhere, doesn't he? And did I mention that they were hungry? When they still couldn't find Jesus, they scratched their heads, and since other boats had shown up, they hopped in those boats, and they crossed over to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And they found him there. They did ask him, when did you come here? Meaning, when and where and how did you get over here across the sea? We know the rest of that story, which they didn't know, because we heard it last Sunday. How Jesus, when he saw the winds against the disciples, walked across on the water to meet them. Jesus doesn't have a particularly friendly greeting when these people find him. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal." Jesus knows why they're there. Jesus knows what they're seeking. They want a God who caters to their needs, to their desires. They want a God who will give them what they want, not what he wants. They enjoyed the bread, and now they want more. One thing we didn't read, but John does tell us earlier in chapter 6, is that they were so pleased with the bread that Jesus gave them that they were ready to make him king by force. Vote for him, he will give you bread. There's a contrast going on here. There's the contrast that Jesus identifies between what we want God to do for us and what God chooses to do when he works in our lives. A contrast between what we want God to do for us and what God chooses to do when he works in our lives. We tend to think of our consumer culture as being a more recent phenomenon, and maybe it is, but it strikes me that this is human nature all the way back. Our culture and our nature teach us to be consumers. We expect others to fill our needs. We treat all of life this way. We treat stores this way. We treat restaurants this way. We treat the government this way. We treat our schools this way. And yes, sometimes we even treat our churches and Jesus this way. Our advertising also reinforces this. Have it your way. Get it the way you want it. All of those sorts of things lead us to think that Jesus has come to give us what we want rather than to work in our lives in the way that he wants. As if Jesus were a vending machine or a fast food menu and we can pick what we want off that menu. They came seeking Jesus. And I dare say that you are here seeking Jesus. And you are here seeking Jesus because Jesus has much to give, and also because you have needs in your own life. What is it that you are looking for from Jesus today? Is it help dealing with the pain that you have? Is it help finding or keeping that job that you need? Are you seeking from Jesus some assistance with your marriage, which is troubled, or your relationships, which are struggling? What is it that you are seeking from Jesus? Because they came seeking many things from him. Maybe you're struggling with daily bread and putting food on your table, and you are seeking that from him. You know that Jesus has come to give many things that are good. And so Jesus said to them, he said, "You came seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Jesus describes what he did in the feeding of the 5,000 as a sign. And this is the way I often think of the signs in the scriptures, in the way we think of signs in our life today. If you were driving toward Boston and you wanted to see or bring a family member or friend to visit Boston, and you saw the sign that said, "Welcome to Boston," you stopped and took a picture and turned around, you haven't really been to Boston. The sign isn't there to say you have it all when you stop at the sign. The sign is there to point you further and deeper to the thing that is greater. Jesus did the feeding of the 5,000 not simply, although he did have compassion on the people and wanted them to be fed, but it wasn't simply to meet their physical need. Jesus isn't one going around just giving food and moving on to give food to the next ones. He gives them that food as a sign that is meant to point them to something greater, to himself. They're content with the bread. And I dare say it seems to me that for these people, if you had simply supplied them with enough bread, they might eventually decide they don't need Jesus at all. I wonder in our own lives sometimes if it would be that way. If Jesus actually answered those needs and desires that we have and filled all of them, would we then focus even more on Jesus and who he is and what he gives? Or would we think that we're good enough now that we don't need him any longer? "Do not work for the food that perishes," Jesus says, "but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." There are two kinds of food that Jesus identifies here. There is the food that perishes. And yes, we need that kind of food as well. We have modern conveniences to make sure it doesn't perish as quickly as it used to. But there is another completely different kind of food that we need as well. The food that endures to eternal life. And Jesus tells us where this food is to be found, which the Son of Man will give to you, because the Father has set his seal on that one. I can't help but hearing in those words the Father's seal and stamp of approval over Jesus and all that he has come to do. From his baptism in the Jordan River with sinners, all the way to his bearing the sin of the world on the cross, this has the Father's stamp of approval. The people go on and ask, "Well, what must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus said, "The work of God is this, very simple, that you believe in him whom he has sent." What is the work of God? The work that he desires, expects, even demands from us, but this one thing, that we believe in the one whom he has sent. But there's a sort of double meaning here that Jesus has to this, because he's not simply saying, now go and do the work of believing. Jesus is saying, this is God's work in you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. We gather here today not simply to figure out what the work of God is that we must do, but so that God can do this work in us again and again and again, creating and strengthening and renewing this faith, that we would believe in the one whom he has sent. Not just in the bread that he gives, not just in the relief from pain or sickness, not just in the help for our relationships, not just in providing us with daily work, but that we would believe in him. The sign points us to Jesus. When God does provide for you in your life, when God does something that serves you or meets your daily need, even if it's in a normal, everyday, non-miraculous fashion, when God does that, see that as a sign, and let that sign draw you to Christ. When you are satisfied and happy, don't simply kick up your feet and think that life is good, but instead look at the one who has given you everything that you have. But there's a division that happens here. Jesus makes very clear what they should be seeking from him. And yet they are skeptical and they question. For they go on and say, so, you want to talk about signs, Jesus? What sign are you going to do that we can see and believe? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it said, he gave them bread from heaven. So Jesus, taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiplying those for thousands, that's impressive. But do you remember what Moses did when God rained down bread from heaven? And Jesus said, it wasn't Moses who did that. It was the Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They've been seeking bread. And Jesus says, I've got a greater bread for you. A bread that has come down from heaven. A bread that gives life to the world. A bread that you eat of it and will not perish, but will have life eternal. It is the one whom God has sent from heaven. He brings you life. Jesus invites them, he invites us, to stop looking only at what he gives and to live by looking to him instead. Jesus invites them and us to stop looking at what he gives and to live by looking to him instead. And you know, he whets their appetites here. They said, sir, give us this bread always. This bread that comes from heaven. This bread that gives life. Give that bread to us. And now Jesus brings it home. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, he says. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. In other words, Jesus is saying, stop looking around for the bread. I have come and I am here and I am the bread of life. He turns their attention away from simply what he gives to who he is. Again, I think that we often come to Jesus looking for what he gives, and we're not wrong to do so. But let our eyes be turned off of the what again to the who. Here is the bread of life. Here is the Son who has come down from heaven. Here is the one who gives life to the world. Yes, he has given them bread, but he has so much more to offer. He is the true bread of life. What matters is not where we're going to find tomorrow's meal. What matters is this relationship that we have with Jesus, that he creates and sustains in us as he meets us here in his word and in his sacraments. And you know, regardless of what we have or what we don't have, when we have Jesus, we have everything we need. We have it all. Jesus hasn't come to give you less. He has come to give you more. And he looks at everything, including you, with eternity in view. When Jesus said these things, and we'll hear this in 2 weeks, some of the people walked away. Some of the people couldn't stomach it. Some of the people couldn't stand or handle what Jesus was offering in giving them himself. But for those who followed Jesus, they would see him as he would give himself most fully and completely. Not simply by feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Those who followed him would see what Jesus would do and where he would go to give life to the world. For our Lord was headed to the cross. The bread of life that came down from heaven is the bread that was broken there on the cross. The bread that gives life is the bread that was planted in the ground and on the third day rose again. The bread from heaven is the bread that comes to you now today on this altar where Jesus offers you not this thing or that thing to meet this need or that need, but where Jesus offers you everything in himself. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. He offers you not less than what you've been hoping and seeking, but he offers you more. More bread? The bread of life, who is Jesus himself. May he nourish and strengthen you now through this gift of his word and of his sacrament. And may he turn you simply from the what to the who, that you would have all of it in him. In Jesus' name, amen.